Appreciate again the opportunity to be of service. I'm glad for the day the Lord's given us, a beautiful day. I'm thankful for it. Can't help but notice as I've pulled up to the chapel this morning and then last night, looking at the number of the children and the younger folks, I don't know all of your ages, but I see, can tell in your faces that there's youth. I can tell by the way that you move about, there's youth. And I'm thankful for that. It does my heart good to see you here. It brings back memories. Whenever I was in my mid and latter teens, I had a kind of a rocky start in trying to serve the Lord. I had very limited understanding, but I had a desire in my heart to please Him, and I found a lot of friends that also had the same desire. We were talking recently in a men's meeting at home, just a little round circle discussion, talking about what we used to do as young people, as boys growing up, church. I remember we would get together and pool our resources, our nickels and dimes and vehicles, and pile in as many as we could, and we'd take off from South Louisiana there. We'd take off. Maybe we'd go to Shreveport for a weekend. Maybe we'd head up to Alabama for a weekend. Maybe we would go to Prattsville, Arkansas for a weekend, Myrtle, Missouri for part of the camp meeting there. And we'd go because, one, we enjoyed the fellowship with each other. We enjoyed being with each other and the time that we could spend with one another. We enjoyed that. It was healthy, wholesome time. We would spend time singing. We'd sing special songs. We would sometimes we'd take time in the afternoon to go play softball, football. We might even go to the river and go canoeing, spend an afternoon going canoeing down the river together. We spent a lot of time like that, and I enjoyed it. Look back, fond memories. My desire for you is that you will have some of those same memories to carry with you through life. You have families, you have loved ones, you have friends, and to see you come together like this, when we leave this service here in a little while, you'll have an afternoon to spend some time together. I don't know how many of you will actually be together, but you'll have some time to spend play ping pong there in the building or outside, throwing the bags in the board. I don't know what that game is called. Ring toss is what I played at home, but something very similar to that. You have a chance to do that, and you can play one-on-one or you can play doubles. You're going to have teams and keep track of your score. And those are the things that you can do. And it's healthy things. It's wholesome things where you don't have to go out and look for other ways of entertainment. Where I was staying this morning, I heard dog barking outside and I heard a man's voice outside. So I walked, looked out the window. I saw a group of young ladies walking down the highway, and they had stopped. I don't know what the reason was. There was a gentleman that stopped, stepped out. Maybe he was getting his newspaper. I don't know. But I saw that group of young girls, young ladies. They stood there for a little bit, I guess conversed with him, and then they moved on down the road. And I stood there for a minute, and I looked, and I thought, that's beautiful. It's beautiful. To see you dressed the way you were dressed. Clean. Wholesome. And my desire is that you'll live your lives that way. And you'll develop relationships with friends and family that will be deep relationships that you'll carry with you through life. I look back over the years and I'm sad to say that I sat down one time at home and I just started making a list of names of those who We went to church together, traveled together, sang together, played together. They don't all still come to service. My best figure was about 50-50. About 50-50. About half of them no longer come around, or more. You face that same challenge. The enemy will take advantage of some of you. My prayer is that not happen. But as I look at the facts, I look at life, I realize that there is the high potential for some to make bad decisions, some to get caught up in a situation of life. You may get married. You say, this, the young man that I'm looking at is one I've really considered and looks like he's going to be a fine husband. I tell you, there's no guarantees in life. There are no guarantees. Life can take some strange twists and turns, and you never know for sure where it's going to be, because every one of us has a will and the ability to choose. So, just want you to know I love you. I appreciate you. It's so good to see you. God bless each one of you. And my prayer is the Lord will keep you and that you will maintain in your heart a strong desire to serve Him and love Him. I like to look at the scripture in the book of John in the 4th chapter. Let's look at verse 31. John chapter 4, verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And then, book of Matthew, 13th chapter, down about the 23rd verse. But he that received seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, let both grow together. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root them up, the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth in him, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. What I want to speak about a little bit this morning is the harvest. We look around us in this world and we see a people. Jesus said, He looked on the multitude. He said, there is sheep that have no shepherd. And we see more and more of that in our society today. We look around, we go to the places, we go to the mall, we go to any place where there's a crowd of people, the shopping centers, any of those kinds of places. And you'll see a wide range of lifestyles. Yeah, I know we're not able to look into the hearts of all the individuals and know just where they are in life. But we see a wide range of things on display. And I wonder sometimes if we carry a burden for the folks in the world who are lost. Jesus said concerning that harvest, don't say it's 4 months to the harvest. Look up, look around you and see the field's white, ready to harvest now. I want to encourage you to do what the Lord will put in your hand, what the Lord will give you opportunity to do, be willing to do that thing. You never know what difference it might make along the way. You've probably heard me testify to this. I'll share it with you this morning. When I was young, when I was a boy, we didn't go to church. I had an aunt and uncle that would stop by and pick us up and take us to Sunday school. I had grandparents that lived in Coffeyville, Kansas. They would drive down in their motorhome and park there at my mom and dad's place. And when opportunity presented itself, my grandma would ask us out into the motorhome with them. And she would find a way to incorporate little songs or Bible stories into our relationship. At the time, I wasn't able to fully appreciate what it was that she was doing. But as I have grown older and I look back over the years and I realize what was happening, she was sowing seed. She was sowing seed with the hope and the expectation of someday there might be a harvest. My aunt and my uncle who would stop by and pick us up to take us to Sunday school, I don't know all of the thoughts they had in their mind. I don't know all of the reasons. I don't know all of their motives. I've never asked them all of their motives. But I do know this. What they did gave an opportunity and sowed some seed. Now they couldn't tell whether it would fall on the good ground or the stony ground or the ground that would be choked out with the briars and thistles. They couldn't tell that. But they were willing to sow that seed. Willing to take that opportunity to try to make a difference for somebody else. I'll tell you what this makes a difference in, folks. Now, I am, thank the Lord, had mercy on me. He called after my soul. I knelt before an altar of prayer. I've mentioned this at the Guthrie meeting. I've mentioned it at home. You may have heard it. But when I went to the altar of prayer for the first time to get saved, it wasn't with the desire to get saved. I was running. I knew the difference between right and wrong, and I had made a choice to take a wrong path. And the hounds were getting close. And I was trying to get space between me and the hounds. And I went to the altar of prayer with the intent of giving a perception to people that I was trying to do right when really my desire wasn't at all. That wasn't what was on my mind at all. I was just trying to get space. But I knelt there. And God, in His love and His mercy, changed the whole situation. I can't even tell you who it was that preached that night. I can't even tell you who it was that prayed with me that night. It was the last night of the assembly meeting there in Hammond, Louisiana. It was a cold night. It was a rainy night. I remember that and everything else was a blur to me. As best I remember, on the ride home, it was a pretty quiet ride home. I had a lot of things to think about. But the Lord changed the whole picture. And He saved my soul. Now, from that time until today, it's been a lot of years. There's been, as the saying is, a lot of water has passed under the bridge. And I look back over the years and I wonder, how could I be where I am today? How? How did this happen? None of my own thoughts, none of my own contrivances, none of my own desires except to love God and to try as best as I could comprehend to follow Him. Everything else is left to the Lord. Can I encourage you this morning that don't look around and say, well, in 6 or 8 months is the harvest and then we'll get busy and we'll do something. Don't look around and say, well, my children are just babies right now and there's not a whole lot I can do with them. Can I tell you something you can do with them? Just recently, little girl born, little granddaughter, she was having a hard time one night. She was really fussy and fidgety. I think her little tummy was bothering her. And I was holding her in my arms. And I was trying to settle her down, calm her down. And I thought, I'm a man. I'm a grandpa. I'm not a mama or a grandmother. I've just got this little baby in my arms. I'm not really sure what to do. I give her a pacifier. I can rock her. I can pat her. And I thought, started singing. Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves me, this I know. She started singing, and you know, she started to calm down, quiet down. I can't say that that's going to make a difference in her life. She's so young now. But there are ways that we can incorporate things into the lives of children that they'll carry with them through life. It can make a difference to them. This past couple years ago, you know Blake's condition where he has leukemia, and there at the children's hospital, one of the nurses that came in to tend to him, he had his little CD player there beside his bed, and he has Sunday school sing-alongs in his little CD player. He calls that his happy music. He that's his happy music. And if he's distressed or disturbed or whatever's going on, can somebody turn on my happy music? So we'll turn on his happy music. And one of the favorite songs is Do Lord. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. And when that song's playing, he'll be laying there in his bed. He'll be singing that little song and his little foot tapping under the sheet. The nurse came in and she was tending to him and he's singing Do Lord. And she's hearing the CD and she left the room, and later on she came back and she asked the question, where did you get that CD? My grandmother used to sing those songs to me. And I've walked down the hallway singing that song, Do Lord, today because it was in my mind. I remember my grandmother, and my wife said, we'll get you one. She was carrying child. She was pregnant. She was going to have a little girl. And she wanted to have something. I want to have something like that for my little girl. Folks, those things do make a difference. No one can know where, when the seed is planted, when how long it's going to take it to germinate and grow. That's really not our business. We're so anxious to see quick results, immediate results. But the Lord, in talking with the disciples, and he gave a parable about a group of people that they were around the marketplace, and a man came and seeking workers. He in the morning hours, he came to them and said, would you go work with me in my vineyard? They said, yes, we'll work, and I'll give you a penny if you'll go work in my vineyard. And they went and worked. And he came back Another time, and saw men standing idle. Well, why are you standing idle? Well, no man has hired us. Well, will you work with me today in my vineyard for a penny? Yes, we'll work. So he hired. And it went on till it come down to the latter part of the day. He comes back to the marketplace. There's still men standing idle. He said, well, why are you standing around? No man has hired us. Well, will you work for me for a penny? And they went and worked. And they came back to be paid, everyone to be reckoned with. And the Lord started giving every one of them their hire. Those that worked all day long got a penny. Those that came the last part of the day got a penny. Those that worked all day grumbled. And they said, we've borne the heat of the day. And you gave us a penny. These only worked 1 hour and they got a penny. The Lord said, I didn't do you any wrong. You agreed to work with me. I asked you, would you come and work in my vineyard for a penny? And you agreed to work with me for a penny. I did you no wrong. Can I do with my own what I will? Folks, can the Lord do with His what He will? Are we willing to turn loose of some of our preconceived notions of what God must do to let God work? To give Him freedom to work in life? To work in the lives of our families, to work in the lives of individuals. I understand the Bible teachings, the Bible doctrines, and I realize that we must live according to the will of God, that we have understanding and convictions. We must do those things, because if we don't, we run the risk of losing our opportunity to make it inside of God's heaven. But I find a world that is lost. Sheep without a shepherd, they're wandering around. They don't even know how to comprehend the basics and the fundamentals. And the Lord wants to save their souls too. He says, look around you. The field's ripe to harvest. Let's do what we can to help one another along the way. Let's do what we can to help these little ones. When you're holding them in your arms and you have the opportunity and you're rocking them to sleep, sing them a little song. Sing them a little song about the Lord. I'll tell you, this is nothing to be proud of, but I'll give you an example. The other day, my son asked me a question. He had heard a song. And he asked me a question about a song, and he played a few notes in line note. I said, yeah. I remember that song. And I found that I was able to rehearse in my mind all of the lyrics to that song. A song that was back in the 1970s. 1970s and 1980s that I listened to. And I find many songs, many like that. If someone starts a song, or if I'm in a marketplace where a song starts over a loudspeaker, I can rehearse the tune, I can hear the words, and I can pick up where they are, and I can sing the song from memory. From memory. Why? Because I spent a lot of years of my life listening to those songs. And there was something in me that I like music. I love music. I like to sing. I love good music. I have to be careful about music. That's something that I have to be careful about. But what I'm trying to say to us, though, is those kinds of things, when we're exposed to those kinds, if we incorporate those things into our lives, then we'll remember those. We'll have some retaining of those thoughts and ideas. If we incorporate godly principles, godly characters, godly songs, if we sing to them these godly songs, that will be something that will also stick in their minds. I still remember the sights and the sounds and the smells of being in my grandparents' motorhome when the little songs were being sung, the little things that they would do. She would take a little bottle of vanilla extract, little bottle of the extracts. When she would empty them, she would pour Kool-Aid in it. Water, Kool-Aid, something that she would put in those little bottles, and we would sip Kool-Aid out of that little bottle while she's singing a song, while she's telling a story. Do you have something like that that rings in your mind? Do you have something similar where somebody has has tried to make an impact in your life, and it has found a place to take root, and it has grown, and you have a pleasant, fond memory. Maybe you don't have that right now. Maybe your memory's clouded. Maybe there's lots of other things going on, and some of those things have been pushed aside. My prayer is, folks, by this little scripture, this time we spend together this morning, to encourage you, to challenge you, to be willing to sow the seed. Be willing to plant. The Apostle Paul said, I was there in 1 Corinthians, he said, I have planted. Apollos watered. God gave it. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But God is the one that gives the increase. We're willing to do our part. And you might not ever know. You may not ever know that you've even sown seed. But by the way that you live your life, the way that you conduct yourself with your fellow man, the way that you respond, if you have compassion, if you show an interest in someone, if you take the time, if we'll just stop long enough. Folks, we live in a world that's so busy. But if we'll just stop long enough sometime to have a kind word to someone, I've been amazed. And I've had, I remember, as a boy, reading some books called, about goops. Goops and how to be them. Goops and how not to be them. Has anybody in here ever heard of the goops? Little funny looking fellas, round heads. One of the little poems is the goops. They lick their fingers. The goops, they lick their knives. They spill their froth on the tablecloth. Oh, they lead disgusting lives. So they loud and fast they chew. That is why I'm glad I'm not a goop. Are you? Manners. There are some common courtesies that you and I can do with our fellow man, with our interaction with our fellow man that can make a difference in their lives. You think not? The next time that you get out of your vehicle and you pump gas, and the receipt won't print. You ever have that happen to you? So you walk in to see the clerk. And as you're walking to the door, you see someone else that's also walking toward the door to go in. Does it matter, young, old, male, female, what race? What does it hurt at that moment when you see somebody else that's walking toward that door for you to step aside and open that door and let them walk in? How many times will you catch a glance from an individual and they'll say, thank you? Who can know what a difference just a simple little deed like that can make? That might stay in their mind all day long. Somebody showed me a courtesy. Somebody showed me some manners. I don't experience much of that. Do you know, folks, there's not a whole lot of that that goes on in this world anymore. It's push, 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 drive, drive, drive. I remember Brother Leslie commenting one time about Cain and Abel. Abel, both of them were farmers, and the scripture says that Cain was a tiller of the ground. And his comment was that Cain was one that forced the ground. He did everything he could to just get all that he could out of the ground. Forced it. Not content with what it could bring forth on its own, but would force it. That's what the world that we're living in today, folks, is a world where people are trying to force to get everything that we can. And it's hard to take the time to sow a little seed along the way because they're rushing by, rushing by, rushing by. It's hard to get somebody's attention for just a moment. But there's a way. With the Lord's help, there's a way. Just somewhere along the way to stop. And so the scripture says in the book of Proverbs, he that regardeth the wind will not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds will not reap. If I look at it and say, well, my seed's pretty light, and if I go out, it's really windy out there. If I try to sow my seed today, the wind's going to blow it all away. And I don't sow today. And I get up tomorrow and say, well, it sure is windy today. If I don't sow my seed today, I'm afraid, you know, the wind's going to blow it and I'm not going to get much increase. It's going to blow it out here in the bushes. So I won't sow today. And tomorrow I look out, the wind's blowing. Guess what? I've just lost 3 days of opportunity for that seed to lie in the ground and germinate and grow. And it comes time that what little seed I have sown comes up and it's time to harvest. I look out, oh, it's cloudy today. I don't think I'll reap because it might rain. Oh, it's cloudy today. I don't think I'll reap because it might rain. And the next thing you know, I don't have anything to reap because... Can I tell you something? If you've ever grown a garden, you plant corn in your garden, if you live in any kind of an area where you have raccoons, they know when the corn's ripe. They know before you do. And if you say... It really looks like the corn's about ready to pull. So tomorrow we're going to pull corn. And you go out tomorrow to pull corn and guess what? They already had that figured out. Because they came in the night before and wrote all the stalks down and got about 50% of your crop. Why? Human tendency. We might wait just a little bit too long. And the enemy comes in and takes away our opportunity. Now here in Matthew, 13th chapter and 23rd verse, he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understanding the word, beareth fruit, bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. As we deal in life, as we work, as we sow our seed, it's not so important what kind of increase there is. You might live in an area, you might have a personality, you might have an ability to sow seed and reap a harvest of 100-fold. Thank God. I might be in a place where I sow seed and reap a harvest and all I get is 30. Thank God. If you get 30-fold, I'm thankful for that. If you get 100-fold, I'm thankful for that. Let not the one that is in a situation where I look at Joe over here and he's got great guns going and he's got 100-fold results going along there and all I've got is 30, so I think I'll just not do anything. I'm discouraged. I'm disappointed because I'm not getting anywhere. Folks, that's not how we look at the thing. This is God's business. We're working for Him, trying to do God's work, trying to do His will in life, trying to make a difference for others in life. That's what the Lord is asking us to do. In order to have a harvest, we have to have ground, seed, sowers, water and light, reapers, sheaves, workers to haul the sheaves, threshing out the grain, all of those things. Do you know what that means, folks? You may never actually get out there and beat the street, so to speak, knocking on doors. But what you can do, all right, you have a job. You have a business. You have income. You have the ability to put money somewhere to help a work. Missionary, camp meeting expense, whatever it may be. That's all part of it. That's all a part of the picture. In helping someone else be able to sow seed, you might not actually contribute, you might not actually sow the seed, but you help make somebody else capable of doing it. When we had a camp meeting there in Hammond, Louisiana, on the old campground, probably the only one in here that would remember that would be Brother Mansell. The old campground there in Hammond in the sawdust on the ground. The old dining hall. We'd go down to the dining hall and have our meals there. And many is the time I remember standing by the sink with with my friends, washing dishes, drying dishes, putting up dishes. And we weren't just doing that. We were singing. Singing songs. Building friendships. Building relationships. Maybe not actually sowing seed, but somebody else had sown some seed to help us to be in that place where we were. And while we're standing there washing and drying dishes, rinsing the dishes and putting them up, it's hard to understand at the moment. We're just there for the fellowship and the friendship. But looking back over it, realize that we're taking work off of somebody else, giving them an opportunity to maybe go sit down and rest for a few minutes. They've worked in the kitchen and cooked a meal, and they don't feel like washing the dishes, and we've stepped in and washed the dishes without even realizing it, giving them a break. Those are the things, folks, that we can do to help one another. We can help one another and make a difference in somebody else's life. Recently, I was visiting with a young man. He had a place, a house that he wanted to rent. And a gentleman came to him to see about renting the house, and he was inked up pretty good. Tattoos all over. So when he considered that, he said, I'm not sure. I'm just not real sure about this. If I want to rent my piece of property out to this guy, I'm not sure what. But he did. He did. He told me, he said, Mike, I'm just wasn't real sure about that. He said, I was a little uneasy. I was really uneasy about it. He said, but I felt like, you know, that's what I needed to do. He went over there to the property a while back to just check the property. Of course, he has the right to go walk around, look things over. He went out to a little building, a little shed out back. He walked in the little shed. He saw everything neat, clean, orderly in there. A table. A pair of reading glasses on the table. Lamp hanging down over the tables. Chairs around the table. And he found a Bible laid open. And he looked at that. He thought, this guy reads his Bible out here each day, maybe. So he went and talked to the man. He said, I wanted you to know, he said, I was out checking things out today and walked around. He said, I went back in the little shed back there and I saw where you had the table set up and had your Bible set out on the table. He said, oh yeah. He said, every morning I come out here and I sit down and I read my Bible. He said, I know I'm not where I need to be in life. But he said, as I read this Bible, I find things in it that tell me what I need to do. And it tells me how I'm supposed to live. And it tells me what I need to fix. And he looked at that man and he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I had you figured all wrong. When I came, you came to me and asked to rent this piece of this little house. He said, I had you figured all wrong. He said, I looked at you. I'd be honest with you. When I looked at you and I saw how you were dressed, how you were attired, and I saw the tattoos all over you, I had serious questions. He was real honest with him. I had serious question about it. He said, I'm sorry. I had you figured wrong. Folks, the scripture tells us to not judge just with the observation. We can't always tell what's going on inside of an individual by what we see on the outside. Many's the time, I'm sure many's the time I've looked at a situation and read it wrong. I've had to say to the Lord, help me, dear Father. I know that there are things in me that need to be perfected, that need to be cleansed. I know there are things in me that need to be addressed. I know that you see things in me that I can't even see. It's why I stole away one time there at the little children's hospital in a little chapel, concerned for my grandson, and I stood there before the Lord wanting to speak to God, not knowing what words to say, really tired physically, emotionally, and stood there and said, Lord, Here I am. I'd like to have a little communion with you here, but I don't know what to say. But I'll just say this. I'll say thank you. Thank you for what I can see. And Lord, thank you for what I can't see. Because I know you are God and you do all things well. And I have this confidence, folks, that He knows me better than I know myself. And He knows you better than you know yourself. And He is able to look down inside of your heart and see those things where the fire needs to be turned up and the dross purged and brought to the surface to be skimmed off so that we can have more of the image of God in our lives. He's doing that with every one of us along the way. That when you meet unto a trial, you're going through something along the way, folks. The Lord has allowed that to come so you can have the heat turned up, to have more dross removed, so that when we come to the end of our journey and we reach the ultimate perfection, being able to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." That encompasses so many things in life, folks. Being willing to have compassion on my fellow man. Trying to be understanding of my fellow man. Trying to apply the principle of the Scripture where Jesus gave the parable of the one who owed so many talents and had no money to pay. And the Lord came to him and said, "Pay that you owe." And he couldn't pay, and he said, "Cast him into prison." And the man said, "Lord, be patient with me and I'll pay you all." And he forgave him the debt. But that same man goes and grabs a man that owed him just a few pence, took him by the neck and said, "Pay me what you owe." Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. I've had to say, "Lord, I want to apply that principle in my own life. I know what you did for me. I know what you forgave me from. I know where I was. I know the path I was on. I know what I had incorporated into my life. And I know that you had mercy on me." When I was coming to that place that night, not in any idea to get saved, you had mercy on my soul. You turned the thing around and saved me. The Lord can do that with anyone, folks. He can do that with anyone. So I've had to be careful. Sow thy seed. Leave it to the Lord whether it accomplishes any good or not. But when you get down on your knees in the morning before you start your day, you can ask the Lord, "Give me an opportunity today." Many opportunities pass us by in a day's time without us even realizing it, folks. Many opportunities. And we come to the close of a day. We can get on our knees and say, "Lord, this day's done. I can't go back and retrace the steps. It's done. I trust that what I have done today, Lord, might have been some benefit to a soul somewhere along the way. Will you take those things? Will you water it? Will you cause there to be increase?" It's the Lord's business. Remember, in order to have a harvest, we have to have seed, ground, sowers, reapers, bundlers. All of those have to be a part of it. Now, in this book of John, I believe it was the book of John 4, and 36. "He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Here's a couple of words in closing from the commentator on that little phrase, "that both he that soweth." It is a united work. It matters little whether we sow the seed or whether we reap the harvest. It's part of the same work. Whatever part we may do, we should rejoice. God gives the increase. While Paul may plant, Apollos water, the teacher in Sunday school who sows the seed in early life shall rejoice with the minister of the gospel who may gather in the harvest, and both join in giving all praise to God. When I was a mechanic, it's been many years ago, I turned the wrenches, I did the repairs, and we had porters who, when the job was finished, it was their job to come back, put the wheels on the car, tighten the wheels, put the hubcaps on, make sure they were secure, put the car on the ground so that we could go out and take a drive. The job wasn't complete till the wheels were put on. The job wasn't complete till the hubcaps were snapped on. The job wasn't complete. I might have already done the brakes. I might have already done the repairs. I might have done all the suspension repair that needed to be done. But the job wasn't complete until the porter put the wheels on the car. If you think that's not important, let it down on the ground and try to drive with no wheels. Every person, you, every one of you, has a part in the Lord's work. You have a part. You have a place. Every one of those is very important, vastly important. Let's be encouraged to do our part to help promote God's kingdom. Be willing to sow thy seed in the morning, in the day, regardless of the wind, regardless of the rain. Be willing to sow seed. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. God bless each one is my prayer. Amen.